Numbers chapter number 22, and Numbers chapter number 22, and we'll also be reading out of 2 Peter chapter 2 in just a few minutes, but we're going to start this morning the book of Numbers chapter number 22, and I do not believe I've ever heard this preached out of. I'll give you just a moment to find it. It's the fourth book in the Bible, the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 22, and we're going to read verses 21 down through verse number 31, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So Numbers chapter 22, verse number 21, the Bible said, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face." Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I want to thank you for your blessings, and I want to thank you, Lord, that we're able to be here today, and all that you've done for us. We're truly thankful, and I'm thankful for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would help me today as I try to preach what you've laid on my heart. And Lord, there's a lot more that I've studied than I'll be able to get out this morning, so I really pray for your help, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words, that I would only say the things that you'd have me to. And Lord, I pray that you'd take this unusual message today, and I pray that you would use it as only the Holy Spirit of God can, to speak to our hearts, Lord, to warn us, to help us. And Lord, we pray that your will would be accomplished in our hearts and lives today. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Please give good liberty to preach thy word, and we'll thank you and ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's go back to verse number 28. This is a good place to start this morning and sort of get our thought. In verse number 28, the Bible said, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And this is without a doubt one of the strangest passages of Scripture in the Bible. It's one of the most interesting passages of Scripture in the whole Bible. And here we read about, and if you can imagine this in your mind, what a strange thing it is that the Bible is talking about, that a donkey would talk and would talk to his owner, and that they would have a conversation between themselves. And I've been studying and thinking about this for quite some time, going back into last year, probably December, maybe even into November. I've looked at it before. I've studied about it, and it's just one of them passages of Scripture I've always wondered and thought in my mind, you know, why is that there, and what does that mean? I mean, if you had today a donkey talking to somebody, don't you think that'd make the news and people would want to know the why behind that? Well, here we have this happening in the Bible, and we've been studying, or I've been studying and thinking about that, and I've learned a whole lot about Balaam. I've learned a little bit about the donkey. And as I've studied about this, what I mean by that, I've read, looked to commentaries and writers, and most writers, they just sort of skip over chapter number 22. They want to go into chapter 23 and chapter number 24, and over there we have Balaam's prophecies. And he did have some prophecies, chapter 24 and verse number 17. Look what the Bible says over there. Balaam prophesied this: I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And I preached on that back in December, how that the wise man, this is the prophecy that they followed concerning his star. Well, it was Balaam that prophesied that. And so you have his prophecies in chapter 23, chapter 24. In chapter number 25, you have his doctrine over there. His doctrine is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 14. And this is how that Balaam taught the king of Moab to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. God would not allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel, so what Balaam did, he taught the king of Moab how to cause them to fall anyway through corrupting them in their ways and their beliefs and intermarrying with the Moabites. And so you find that in chapter number 25. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but this is just all by way of introduction. Balaam is mentioned in the book of Jude. That's the book right before the book of Revelation, and it talks about in Jude verse number 11, the error of Balaam. And 2 Peter talks about the way of Balaam. And Balaam is mentioned quite a few times in the Bible. Balaam is mentioned 63 times in the Bible. His name means the foreigner or the confounder of the people. He's mentioned in 8 different books in the Bible. He's mentioned in 5 books in the Old Testament, and he is mentioned in 3 books in the New Testament. But the ass here that we read so much about, his donkey, is only mentioned 1 other time in the Bible. It's mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 16, and it's talking about Balaam over there, and it says, Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice for bad. That means to prevent by word or action. Forbade the madness of the prophet. That word madness there, it means insanity, to be insane, to be crazy. And so the speaking of the ass, this donkey talking to Balaam, it forbade the madness of the prophet. And that's what I want to preach on this morning out of this passage of Scripture, the title to the message being the madness of the prophet. I mean, to get to this place in his life, Balaam had pretty much gone insane. And if we saw a man out in the field talking to a donkey, we'd think he was insane, wouldn't we? We'd say, there's something wrong with that fella. The madness of the prophet. Now, there's some things we're going to learn about Balaam. And as we study about Balaam, you know, he's one of the most infamous people in the Bible. Being famous is one thing. That's usually in a good tone. But being infamous is usually in a bad tone. And Balaam is a false prophet. And that's why he's mentioned over in the New Testament these many times. It's never in a good light. It's always in a bad light. He was a false prophet. He was a prophet for hire. He was a very self-willed individual. And if we study about Balaam, here's the scary thing. We might find ourselves in Balaam. Sometimes we get self-willed as well. Balaam was self-willed. He is a man. He is the type of person that he is going to do what he wants to do, and it doesn't matter what God says. He's got his mind made up that he's going to do this thing, even though the Lord told him not to. He's very self-willed. Balaam is the type of person, he's going to please Balaam. He is going to please himself. He's going to do what he wants to do, even if it kills him. And it eventually does, if you study about the end of Balaam's life. And so we're going to study some things about him, just some quick things about Balaam. Who was he? Where did he come from? If we were to take time this morning and study out the different places in the Bible that he has mentioned, we would learn that Balaam is actually a descendant of Abraham. He comes from the same area, Mesopotamia, and the same group of people that Abraham came from. You know, Abraham, before he was saved, he was a heathen. And so he came from his line of descendants, but he was not a Jew. See, Jews are only from Isaac, Jacob, but Abraham had other descendants. And Balaam is from these other descendants, but he was not a Jew. He was a real prophet of God. He had a true knowledge of the living God. He knew about the ways of God and he knew about the will of God. He was a prophet that knew about the Lord. The Bible says, if you look down in chapter number 22 and verse number 18, and I'll explain a little bit more about this, but the king of Moab sent to him, wanted him to come and curse the children of Israel because they had filled the land. And the Bible said in chapter 22 and verse number 18, the Bible said, 22 and verse number 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. He had a testimony that the Lord was his God. And at first, he said, if he gave me his house full of silver and gold, I can't do it. I can't go beyond the word of the Lord my God. He knew God. He knew about God. He knew what God wanted. God spoke to him once upon a time and several times after that. But the point of this message, what I want us to see today, is this, that missing God's will is not easy, but it is possible to do. And if you have a Scofield Bible, and I know that many of you do, he talks in his notes about Balaam going from the perfect will of God to the permissive will of God. And I've heard, and we've heard people testify and talk about that in days gone by and even years gone by. I've heard people talk about the permissive will of God. Well, there's notes in a Scofield Study Bible that talks about the permissive will of God. And I want to say this morning that the permissive will of God versus the perfect will of God. God allowed him to go and to do this thing. And God will let you do what you want to do. But that doesn't mean that that's what you're supposed to do. And just because we might talk about the permissive will of God, that is not the perfect will of God. In fact, the permissive will of God got Balaam in a whole lot of trouble. Yeah, God let him do it, but it wasn't for good. We need to really sit up and pay attention this morning because God will let you do what you make up your mind to do, but it really might mess you up the rest of your life. If we end up
having our way as opposed to God's way. And that's what happened in Balaam's life. Balaam got what Balaam wanted, but it sure didn't work out the way that he thought it was going to. What we think about the madness of the prophet, he got a long way from the perfect will of God. I want to share with you five things about this morning about the madness of the prophet and how he went from the perfect will of God to the permissive will of God, and how it was actually hard for him to get where he ended up. The first thing I want to point out this morning is that Balaam defied a clear declaration from the Lord. Now, I'm just going to summarize what happened in chapter 4 down through, chapter number 22, verse 4 down through verse number 12. I don't want to read all those verses, but just to sort of summarize, if we start in on the last part of verse number 4, and what we have happening here in chapter 22 is the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. And they've come into the borders of Moab. And the king of Moab, his name is Balak, he sees all these Israelites. And he's heard about them as they're coming through the land, they're conquering. They had a great victory at Jericho. Everywhere they go, they're winning battles. And so Balak, the king of Moab, he's concerned about all these Jews, the children of Israel. And the Bible said in the last part of verse 4, and Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. Verse 5, he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth. And they abide over against me. And he said in verse 6, come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Balak knew that Balaam was a prophet. And he tried to hire him. Come up here and curse this people for me. Verse 11 said, verse number 6, the last part, he said, for I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Come up here and curse them for me, so I can win against them in the battle. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. You know, and I've never done this, and I never would. But if you go to a diviner, if you go to a soothsayer, if you go to get your fortune read, which the Bible condemns all of those things, but if you go to somebody like that, you go with money in hand. That's what they expect. You ever seen those signs beside the road? Read your palm for $5 and all that bunch of stuff. That's a diviner, that's a soothsayer. And Balak, Balaam, I don't understand everything about him, but they came to him with the rewards of divination. They came with money in hand. They said, we want to hire you to come down. We've heard that who you bless is blessed and who you curse is cursed. And we want you to come up here and curse, lay a curse on the children of Israel, so we can go out and defeat them in battle. And at the very first, Balaam does the right thing. Verse 8, he said unto them, lodge here this night. I'll bring word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. Verse 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these? Who are these men? And Balaam told him who they were. Verse number 12, the Bible said, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now I'm telling you, that's pretty plain. Balaam said, you spend the night, I'll go and I'll see what God has to say about it. And God came to Balaam and God plainly told him, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse them. They are a blessed people. That's pretty plain, isn't it? In fact, The great, great majority of the Bible is very plain. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 9 says, talking about the words of the Lord, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to him that seeketh knowledge. The Word of God is plain. The Word of God is right. Now, we might be here this morning and we might say, you know, I don't understand the book of Revelation. I don't understand the prophecies of Daniel. I don't understand Ezekiel measuring the temple over there. There's a lot of things this morning I don't fully understand. But I'll tell you, the most prominent, most important things you probably understand. Most everybody understands the difference between right and wrong. Most everybody understands the difference between right and wrong. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Commit adultery. There's a lot of things that we do plainly understand. There's a lot of places in the Bible God said, don't do this. We understand that lust and sexual sins of all shapes and kinds are sinful. We understand that drunkenness and anger and fighting and wrath and love of money, there's a lot of things, yeah, we understand real well. We shouldn't do those things. It's wrong. It's not right to do these things. And this was a very plain, clear declaration by God. God said, no, don't do it. But here's what Balaam did. Balaam kept on and on until he got a workaround. I mean, I've studied this, and at first God told him not to go, but later on God told him to go. But if you look down in verse number 20 and verse number 21, and if we read that real carefully this morning, what you'll find is that Balaam did disobey exactly what God told him to do. Verse 20, the Bible said, and let me just say, from verse 12 through verse 19, the men went away. They went back to the king of Moab. And the king of Moab upped the price, sweetened the pot, sent more honorable men and more money down there to try to buy Balaam out. Verse number 20, the Bible said, and Balaam told him, he said the same thing, you wait another night and I'll see what God has to say. He should have just sent him on back home. But the Bible said in verse 20, and God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. And I've got that underlined in my Bible. He said, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. But look at verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Balaam there, he didn't wait around in the morning to see if they came to call him again. But I'm telling you, he got up before the sun come up, saddled his ass, and he was over there knocking on their door before they had their first coffee. He's like a lot of people. He found what he thought was a loophole. He found a little angle that he might go through. You know, Balaam probably in his way of thinking was, well, you know they're going to come back. They come all this way. I'll just say them coming over here and knocking on my door. And the Bible says that he got up, he went with them. They never came and knocked on his door. You see, Balaam wanted something. Balaam had a price. And evidently what they brought and what they offered, man, he really wanted that. That was his price. And Balaam defied a clear declaration from the Lord. And people do that all the time. They justify their sin. They justify their rebellion. They try to find some loophole in the Word of God. And here's what everybody that goes down this road says. They say, well, my case is different. Look, if God said no, it means no. And if you try to work and worm around what God has said, I'm telling you, it's just going to be bad for you. And that's exactly what Balaam did. He defied a clear declaration from the Lord. Number two, Balaam defied a change of direction. Now, he went up and he got up and he went with them. Verse number 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Now that donkey saw what Balaam did not see. It's what the Bible is saying. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Balaam defied a turn of direction. Here they were going down the road. And that donkey looks down through there and he sees the angel of the Lord and his sword drawn, and it scares him, and he turns aside. Before he turns aside out of the way, the Bible says, went into a field by the way. Literally, physically, turned him out of the way. Turned him out of the way of danger. Turned him away from the angel of the Lord that had his sword drawn. Because the anger of the Lord was kindled against Balaam. And so here we find the angel of the Lord is actually more of an angel of mercy than he was trying to absolutely destroy him. He's more of a friend than an adversary. Because he let that donkey see him, knowing that that donkey would turn aside out of the way. And let me tell you, right here is a real good place in Balaam's life for him to say to himself, "What in the world am I doing?" Because if you read carefully down through here, this little donkey, she wasn't one to disobey what he... This was odd. This was odd for this donkey to act this way and to turn him aside out of the way. And Balaam here could have thought to himself, "What am I doing? Why am I doing this? This is crazy. God told me not to do it. And here I've wiggled around and here I am going to do something God has already told me he's not going to allow me to do." God had already told him, "This people is blessed. You're not going to be able to curse them. If you say anything, you're only going to be able to say what I tell you to say." And I thought about this. Have you ever been in the wrong and you knew you were doing wrong? And you're headed down the road. You're getting ready to maybe even go and be involved in something that you know is against God's plain declaration. And you go out and get ready to do it and your car won't start. Or you got a flat tire. Or you got something in mind that you're going to do and you're thinking about it and you've justified it and somebody calls and it's just an odd thing. Have you ever thought that times like that might be the angel of the Lord trying to turn you around? Turn you in a different direction from the direction that you're going. You met a friend. You had a conversation. Something happened in your life and it caused a turn of direction. I'm telling you, that's the Lord. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is good. You ever been about to do something and you got distracted? Something unusual happened in your life? That just could have been the Lord trying to get your attention. I don't know if I've ever told you about my very short-lived gambling career. When I was in the military, they sent us temporary duty to Germany. And so a group of us, we were to take some trucks over there. We had to get on the ferry and go from Germany over to Holland. And it's an all-night trip. And so we had our vehicles on there, and it's like a big cruise ship type thing. They served supper on there, and we were in the dining hall. And when you get out on the open water like that, they have a lot of things that they don't have on land. And they had gambling in there where we were eating. And I was sitting there, and I'm 18, 19 years old, something like that. And I got to watching them, and they were playing 21. Well, I'd played that with my cousins and friends growing up, and I sat there and watched that, and I was talking with them other boys, and I said, you know, I know how to do that, and I watched them. I watched people up there gambling, and I thought I could do that, and I got up my courage. And I got my 5-pound note out of my pocket, and back then, that was a lot of money. That was about $10. And I went up to that table, looked just like something you'd see on TV in Las Vegas or something like that. And I put my 5 pounds down, and I thought I was really, none of the other boys joined in. Thought I was really doing something. And the guy, and I don't remember if anybody else was there, and he dealt his cards, and I might have got another one, and he got another one, and I showed him mine, and he showed me his, and he took my money. And all that took place in about 30 seconds. And I stuck my hands in my empty pockets and went back and sat down, and I thought to myself, that's too hard to come by just to give it away. And I've thought a whole lot of times down through the years, what if I had won? My whole life might have been different. What if instead of coming to myself and seeing how foolish that was, I would have went back and said to one of them other fellers, let me borrow some money. I know I can get my money back. I know I can. Just what if that one little thing in my life would have been different? My whole life might have been different. I knew I shouldn't have been doing that. But I done it anyway. But the Lord, I really believe, changed my direction. God's good. If you get out of God's will in this life, if you do your own thing and go your own way, you're going to have to run over a whole lot of roadblocks. God's good. And I've praised Him many, many times that, yes, I guess technically you could say once upon a time I was a gambler, but it didn't last very long. I praise the Lord for that. Somebody said one time, they said, won't you buy a lottery ticket? I said, no way, I'm afraid I'd win. That'd ruin me. How are you going to explain that? If a tithe check showed up in the plate for $100,000 one Sunday morning, what would you do? Well, you'd be afraid to tie that off. I'm telling you, it'd just be a mess. He defied a change of direction. He should have, while that donkey was turned aside into the field, he should have just said, you know, this is crazy. I just need to go on back to the house. Do what God told me to do the first time. Stay home. He defied a change of direction. He defied a clear declaration. Number three, Balaam defied a cause of damage. If you look in verse 24 and verse number 25. Now, look in the last part of verse 23. The Bible said, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. I don't know if he had a whip. I don't know if he had a stick, whatever. But he just beat that donkey and made her turn around and go back the way he wanted him to go. Wanted her to go. Well, they're heading down the road again. And the Bible says in verse number 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. Now up to this point in time, nobody's gotten hurt except the poor donkey. He's already beat her one time and made her turn back into the way. And this time they're coming through the vineyard there. And you can imagine this in your mind. There's a stone wall on this side and a stone wall on that side. And there's the angel of the Lord. And buddy, that donkey, he's trying to do Balaam a favor. And he tries to get over as far as he can and crushes his foot against the wall. That's what happened. That's what the Bible's explaining there. Nobody's heard up till now. But if you study this out, what this said, the donkey crushed his foot up against the wall. And now there's two hurt victims here. There's the donkey and now there's Balaam. Trouble can be your best friend if it turns you back into the way of God's will. And that's what the angel of the Lord is trying to get to happen here. This is a merciful thing that is happening in Balaam's life. But we see this all the time, all the time. And I'm telling you, it gets really old to witness over and over broken lives, broken homes, broken dreams all around us. People whose lives are in a just complete shambles and mess all round about us, and multiplied trouble and heartache and pain. And it looks like somebody would stop and ask along the way, why is this happening? Why am I hurt so much? Why am I hurting all the time? Could be the Lord is trying to get you out at least alive. And if He broke your foot, that'd be a mercy if it'd spare our lives. But we see it happening all the time, all round about us. I'm telling you, the jails are full. The courts are full. The sheriff's department, the police department, they're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and a whole lot of it's repeat customers. Never learn, never learn. Divorce courts are full. The counselor's offices are full. The pastor's phone is ringing off the hook, and it's something all the time that is going on. The emergency rooms are full, and the Oasis homes are full, and all these people walking around, and their feet are crushed and crippled, and they're limping through life, and it's a sad, sad thing. And they just go hobbling along. Why is this happening to me? Now, all trouble is not because we're missing God's will. But a lot of times trouble is because we're missing God's will. And I'm not here to say this morning, don't be like Job's friends. You know, Job had trouble and they come along and they said, well, Job, you've messed up. You missed God and it's your fault. You've sinned. Job hadn't sinned. But Balaam had. So a lot of times it's not up to us to decipher. But I promise you this, you know. If your heavenly Father chastises you, you know. And I bet you can tell when it's coming. When we was little boys, and our family, we used to always, you know, we'd be over at this cousin's house, we'd be down at these friends, and you know, all us boys get together, you know we're going to get in trouble. I can hear my daddy's footsteps coming down the hall. You better quit wrestling, messing around, stop doing what you're doing, and get as far away from them boys as you can, because you know what's coming. You know. If you're one of God's children, you don't have to sit around and think to yourself, I wonder if God let that do. I wonder if He's trying. You'll know. He's our Father, and when He chastises us, you'll know. You'll know. He defied a cause of damage. Well, now His foot is crushed against the wall. But look what He does. The Bible said, and he's mad. He's crazy. I mean, why didn't He just go back to the house? But the Bible said in verse 25, and He smote her again. Just made her keep on going. Then we look on down, number 4. Balaam defied a complete disaster. The Bible said in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further. As I've read and studied this, it seems like the angel of the Lord kept going down the road a little way, kept going down. And Balaam is getting in a more and more narrow place all the time. And let me tell you, that's what sin does. You think sin gives you liberty and, oh, I'm just going to go out and do what I'm going to do. No, it does not. It pins you in and you can't get out of it. Do you see that here? First he was in a field, and then he's between two walls, and I guess two people could pass. But now he's in a place he can't get around. He's in a very narrow place. Verse number 26, the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And now there's no other option. I mean, as far as transportation is concerned, this is a complete disaster. The donkey falls down underneath Balaam, and I'm sure that didn't feel good on his crushed foot. He might have crushed some other things when she fell down under him. The Bible said she fell down under him. I want to say this morning, don't think today that just because you're saved, just because you know the Lord, just because you know what God's Word says, don't think you can't lose everything. Don't think your life can't be in such a mess that you'll look back and say, I don't understand how it got this way. This ought to be a warning to all of us this morning. You got your mind made up to do something, God will let you do it. But I guarantee you it'll hurt really bad when you go so far in that thing. He should have still turned around and went home. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, nothing is going right in my life. Every time I turn and try to go this way and try to go that way, the door is closed. Why won't God let me? Maybe that door closed is, maybe that's your answer. Don't go. Don't do. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 3, and I think it's verse number 7, the Lord, it is He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And I'm glad this morning He knows how to get in front of us. And if it causes a complete disaster, then so be it. If it would save our lives, He defied a complete disaster. Balaam is mad. He's insane in all of this. Look what he does. The Bible said he smote the ass with a staff. And it's made him insane. Sin, and I've preached this before. Remember old Samson? We talked about him and how sin will make you stupid. Why didn't he realize Delilah was trying to trap him every time she came and she said, what's the secret of your strength? And he would pretend to tell her and she would do that. And all of a sudden, here the Philistines showed up. Why didn't he see that? What she was trying to do to him? Because sin makes you insane. It makes you mad. It makes you stupid. And people do things and we say, why in the world did they do that? That was crazy. Why did Balaam, instead of realizing what was going on, he jumps up and this time takes his staff and he beats that donkey one more time. And last of all this morning, I want to point out Balaam is a duo in a divine comedy. If you look at verse number 28 down through verse number 31, this is actually funny to me. I hope we can see this somehow when we get to heaven. Can you imagine the scene? We read in verse number 28, the Bible said, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou smit me these three times? When I read this, has anybody seen the movie Shrek? You know the donkey and how he talks? I wish I could do that voice. What have I done to you? The donkey says to him, what have I done to you? You beat me now three times. Balaam's a crazy man. Why what? Why didn't that not astonish him? But he just argues back. That's crazy. That's madness right there. If a donkey talked to you, you'd think, I have hit my head somewhere. What is happening? Balaam just talks right back. Verse 29. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. That's a madman talking. You just better be glad all I've got is this staff. If I had a sword, I'd kill you, donkey. What have you done to me? What have I done to you? You're beating on me. Verse 30, and the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden? Ever since I was thine unto this day, was I ever wont to do so unto thee? Have I ever done this to you before? Have I ever acted this way? Balaam, don't you see something else is going on here? Nay, he had to admit, no, you've never acted this way before. Isn't that so almost funny? If you could go and be sitting on the hillside and watch this scene before us here, if it's not so sad, it'd just be funny. Can I say this morning, that donkey was actually his best friend at that time. Do you know what I believe that donkey is a picture of? I believe that donkey is a picture of the grace of God. That's the grace of God trying to keep him out of trouble, trying to keep him from getting killed. And I've experienced, and you've talked to people and experienced the people, sometimes the best thing that's ever happened to you was a disaster. Maybe a wreck, maybe something else come in your life. Best thing that ever happened to you. Woke you up, helped you see things, not from the way you were seeing them, but from a different perspective. That donkey is a type of the grace of God. But I want to tell you this morning, what did he do to the grace of God? He just abused it. That's what he did. Every time that donkey tried to save him, he just beat on it. And every step further down the road, and every time it just got worse and worse, he just beat on that donkey and beat on that donkey. And I'm telling you, sometimes we are so mad and we are so insane with my way and what I want to do, we just abuse and abuse the grace of God. And that's exactly what Balaam did. Just beat on her, beat on her. How do people get in such a shape in this life? They just abuse and beat on the grace of God at every turn, and they never open their eyes and see where they are and what they're doing. But it's hard to get in such a mess sometimes. You know, I think a little bit further, and I'm not going to preach all of this and get into it, but he goes on. He goes on, and when he gets there, if you read on down later on this week or when you get home sometime, the king of Moab comes out to greet him. I believe old Balaam, when he greeted the king, I believe he looked pretty rough. I mean, he's been through an ordeal with this donkey, and it fell down under him and crushed his foot. And I imagine by the time he got there, his robe's all dirty and his turban's turned sideways, and he jumps off the donkey and he limps over to the king. The Bible said that he crushed his foot. Has anybody ever sprained their ankle really, really bad or broke your foot? I don't believe he skipped a Maloo over to meet Balak. I believe he's a mess. And if you read over there, Balak kept trying to get him to go up on all these different mountains and view the people from over here and curse them. And then he hauled him up another time on another mountain. And can you imagine with a crushed foot? You go on through life doing what you want to do. But you're likely to go through life disheveled, hurt, limping, in pain. You can't enjoy nothing. Oh, no doubt he made big money off of Balak, but I don't believe he ever enjoyed any of it. And if you read on later, do you know what happened to him? He was killed with a sword by the children of Israel. The very thing the angel of the Lord came out to do to him actually happened to him. So you go on through life and you do just what you want to do, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, they look really good on the outside, but in the inside, even though it looks like they've got it made, they are so full of pain and heartache and regret and misery, and I'm telling you, it's just not worth it. If you study about Balaam in the Bible, Balaam is a picture of don't do it that way. That is not the way to do it. That donkey rebuked him. The study about Balaam is a rebuke. It's a rebuke to all of us this morning and our self-will, because I'm telling you, I believe probably all of us have had trouble down through our lives. Old self. Old self will get you in all kinds of trouble. Don't abuse and beat the grace of God. Sin makes you mad. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" See, that's what Balaam was trying to do. He's trying to please men and please self. "For do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You do what you do just to please men, just to please self, you cannot be the servant of Christ. The Bible said in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." You ever heard people say, "Just follow your heart"? Just follow your heart. That'll get you in trouble. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Trust in your own heart is going to get you in trouble. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Oh, but I want to so bad. If you're listening to your heart, you better not. It'll lead you wrong. Say, how do I know what to do? Better get in God's Word. Better start with the clear declaration of God. What did God say to do? And don't ever go beyond that. Don't ever try to get around it. It'll just mess you up. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. That is a very odd message. I realize that this